have a list of questions? Oh, a short list. But maybe one question will trigger more. So you ready?
Yeah.
Ready? Well, Mrs. Campbell, just shoot your question.
Okay. So in your talk, you calculated the number of gravitinos from the dimension, and it was this formula that was like d minus 3 times 2 to the d minus 3 over 2, right? I don't understand what happens if you're in three dimensions.
Well, this is a very good question. In three dimension, the graviton has 0 degrees of freedom. So the gravitino has 0 degrees of freedom in three dimension. That is why it is proportional to d minus 3. It corresponds to the fact that there is no gravity in three dimension. There is no propagating graviton.
But does that mean that there's no gravity?
So the graviton and the gravity, the supergravity, have no propagating degrees of freedom in three dimension.
But there is gravity in three dimension.
There is gravity, but
it's only topological.
Exactly.
What does that mean?
There is no graviton degrees of freedom as a massless particle of spin 2. So gravity in three dimension is topological. So that formula works with this.
But what does it mean?
Let me show you what it means.
Gerald, work on it. So you
have gravity in three dimensions. This is two-dimensional space, right?
Yeah.
And I have a particle in the middle. And now I do this. I glue them together like this. And now the particle sits here.
Okay.
The rest of space-time, the surrounding space-time is flat.
Mm-hmm.
So nothing happens there. Except if you combine many of these particles and you have them all moving about, it becomes still quite complicated. And it becomes even more complicated if you make a torus or a cookie with two holes and things like this. Then this can become quite complicated. So the theory, after all, is non-trivial, even though there's no graviton. The only way that gravity is transmitted is that if you go around full circle, you're not making 360 degrees, but less.
So if there is no graviton, by supersymmetry, there is no gravitino. This is why it has 0 degrees of freedom.
Okay.
It's an interesting question.
Okay.
So now we really want to get the sparks for a group discussion. So who else has... Your lecture was too clear.
Well, it was supposed to be a triumph of Majorana, so I mean...
Okay. I can't think. There is one question there. Microsoft.
Okay, this is a really basic question. Why don't we talk about higher spin particles? 5 halves, 7 halves, etc.
Well, in gravity, there is the problem of making a consistent coupling of spin 2 with spin 3 halves. In fact, the second paper on supergravity by Desser and Zumino was called consistent supergravity, exactly because they showed, as in electromagnetism, that if you are in electromagnetism, in order to couple matter to electromagnetic field, you must have a conserved U1 current, which comes from the equation of motion of the Maxwell field as an identity. In gravity, you have that the divergence of the stress tensor must be zero. We saw this morning that equation plays a role in the Friedman-Lemaître metric for the universe. Here, there is the same story. If you try, however, to couple particle with spin bigger than 2, What you find is that there is an inconsistency in the sense that the constraint given by gauge invariance impose too much condition on matter, and that the theory become inconsistent. String theory apparently is a way out, but the string theory is not a local field theory. It's a theory of extended object. So in theory with extended object, it seems that you can have a higher spin particle, and in fact you can have infinitely many. Yes.
If I can make a statement, just sharpening the observation.
Can you state your name?
Your name.
It's being recorded.
Okay. Yes. So the precise statement is the following, that if you want to couple higher spin particles for what we know today, you need in some form of or another an infrared cutoff. So it could be a mass, and therefore in string theory the systems avoid these difficulties. We don't know whether we should call it a difficulty or an inconsistency, but certainly they avoid it through the masses, because the masses are sized by the string tension. Alternatively, we know that similar inconsistencies can be avoided, or difficulties if you want, if you introduce a cosmological term. Both quantities are dimensionful. These things apparently avoid the problems.
If you what happens is that if you put the bound of having only particle which have one massless graviton and lower spin particle, then from this analysis of representation of supersymmetry, which was initiated by Warner Nam, you get this bound in the dimension of space-time. The dimension of space-time cannot exceed 11 if you want to have a theory which has only massless spin 2 and lower spin particle. So the nice thing is that you have a finite number of theories in higher dimension because of this constraint. Yes.
Yeah. Korthals, Altus.
Mike?
Mike Duff, Imperial College. As you know, you can keep the bound of 128 fermionic degrees of freedom by going to 12 dimensions if you change the signature to 10,2. Do you think there's any physics associated with that?
The problem is that the supersymmetry algebra is not the standard one in that case. You don't have the momentum on the right-hand side of the supersymmetry generators. So the anticommutator of QQ, I don't think, contains a vector. It contains only higher order form. So it's not a standard supersymmetry algebra.
So does one conclude there's no physics in it?
Yeah?
Is the conclusion that there is no physics in that observation? Mm-hmm.
As far as I know, I don't know any field theory which has this 12-dimensional algebra. F-theory could have been a candidate, but I don't think it is what this F-theory is about.
Thank you. Quartos Altus.
Yeah, Quartos Altus. You have behind your back this incredibly beautiful and simple Lagrangian for supergravity in four dimensions, right? It's just really very
this
simple.
One.
You mentioned in a fleeting moment this morning what it was in 11 dimensions. What was it? Is this then involving
I need a
free index field?
Yeah, I need the... Do you have some slides? Well, first of all, in any theory of supergravity, you must have that the number of bosons and the number of fermions are the same, because in any supersymmetric theory, this is the case. Now, if you are in four dimensions, the graviton has two elicited states, plus minus two, and the gravitino has two elicited states, plus minus three halves. So the balance is rich. This is not a sufficient, but this is a necessary condition. If you make the same counting for an 11-dimensional graviton, and you find that the 11-dimensional graviton doesn't have the same number of degrees of freedom as an 11-dimensional gravitino. The 11-dimensional graviton,
yeah.
No. In D equal 11, has not the same number of degrees of freedom of the 11-dimensional gravitino. In fact, we know already which must be the total number of degrees of freedom, because the gravitino, from this formula which I wrote, D minus 3 and so on, you discover that the gravitino has 128 degrees of freedom. So the fermions are 128. So you need the 128 bosonic degrees of freedom. Now, I don't want to make the counting here, but what happens is that this 120, the graviton has much less degrees of freedom than 128 in 11 dimension. But if you count the number of the degrees of freedom of the graviton, and you add also a massless reform, and you count the number of massless degrees of freedom for these two objects in 11 dimension, you find that the sum of the degrees of freedom of these two objects is exactly 128. And that is an argument why you need something else. You cannot have the same theory as in four dimensions, because it's mismatch of degrees of freedom. More than that, the Lagrangian has a beautiful geometrical structure, because as Cremer, Julien, Cher showed, the form M U rho was phi strength is a four form. Entering the Lagrangian, there is a quadratic term which you can write using differential, which is F wedge star F. This is the quadratic term for the form. And then there is a very nice Cher-Simon term. There is a term of the form F wedge A, which is what is called a Cher-Simon term. So the supergravity Lagrangian in 11 dimension, even if it contains an extra field, which is a three-form, has a very nice expression, because it's Einstein plus the same, very same gravitino, gamma mu, gamma nu, gamma rho, d rho, d nu, psi rho. So this is exactly the same term I have in four dimensions. The only thing that you have this extra term which come... But the main reason is because the graviton matches the gravitinos only in four dimensions, not in higher dimension. In higher dimension, you have always extra field. In 11 dimension, you have just a three-form. This three-form is essential in order to have two-brain and five-brain solutions in the equation of motion of 11-dimensional supergravity.
Okay, thanks.
Are there any more questions? Then I'd like to thank Professor Ferrara again.